At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
A what?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
G-Man Moon is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. We have so much to unpack because, first of all, I'm wearing a slutty sheer black tank in honor of your gorgeous career and recent turn in Sunset Boulevard. So
you're just in costume.
Yeah, I tried to give an homage to the Tony winning production. G-Man, you just got back from a trip abroad. How are you doing? How's the jet lag? How's the gay ass day?
The jet lag is fine because I made my friends come over and keep me up until like ultimately far too late.
Sure.
But so then I was like, let me just get on the cycle. It's gray as fuck here in New York today, which is a little bit like, oh, I just came back from like sunny Valencia in Spain. So I'm like, this is like a downer just a little bit.
Wait, let's get into that. So wait, well, two things to get into: the Valencia, Spain, but also, didn't you just see Evita in London?
Yeah. I went to London on my way back.
So let's let the listeners know, if they don't know, you were just in Sunset Boulevard with Nicole Scherzinger on Broadway, yeah. And then the same director of Sunset is directing Rachel Zegler in Evita, which is like the hottest ticket in London right now. So,
oh my God, completely.
Question one, how was the show? What was it like watching from the odd?
It's insane. It's like literally fucking whiplash. Like, it's a barrage to the senses. It's incredible. So it's the creative team is like largely basically the same. So it's Jamie and then Fabian, who's the choreographer, and then Alan Williams, who's the music supervisor. And like Fabian's work, the choreographer's work on first instance is beautiful and spectacular.
Incredible.
And then in Evita got to just go like, boom. And so it's like a massive like carnival. The girls are dancing down. They are twerking their faces off.
Which for Evita is iconic, I must say.
It's like, completely iconic. And I, to be fair, I knew nothing about Evita. Like, I knew I'd seen Caroline Bowman sing Rainbow High, obviously. And kind of that was like my extent of the knowledge of the show. And so I went in really not knowing much.
What's it like, though, as someone who has worked with a huge part of the creative team for that show, having just done it? Is it like, what would you equate it to? Is it like visiting a different homeroom in elementary school? You're at the same school, but like the curriculum is, or like the, I don't know, the teacher is different. Like, what does it feel like to see a show directed by the same person you closely worked with, but you're not in it?
Yeah, I think it's like, I never got to watch Sunset because, I was on stage, obviously.
Sure.
So I never got to see it. And so I think like ultimately maybe it was kind of like I was watching Evita and I was like, oh shit. Cause there's a lot of similarities, especially aesthetically. And I was
right.
Like, oh, like I was thinking back to Sunset and I was like, oh wait, those moments were probably really cool watching Sunset.
Girl.
But I don't know what they look like. So
I
felt like I like got to like see the idea of Sunset with a different show.
Yeah.
Almost. I saw it with my friend Hannah Chamberlain, who played young Norma. In Sunset, and so we were sitting next to each other and we were just be like, oh yes, of course. Like the show starts, like Diego, who plays Che in Evita, is like sitting there all in black, like in like just on stage, like there's so much fog, and I was like, oh yeah, so this is how Sunset starts.
And I have to say, when I saw Sunset, I obviously had like pretty high expectations, but when people ask me about it now, I say it's my top 5 theater going experience in seeing a Broadway show. Like I was rooting for Nicole to win. I was
down.
Just like blown away. And in fact, you did another performance with Nicole Scherzinger, but for Broadway Bears, with her doing a full Pussycat Dolls Giving Us Buttons. And you were ripping your tank. You were slutting it up on stage.
Of course,
feel like you were taking drugs? Were you taking drugs? What did it feel like to see to dance next to Nicole doing a Buttons nod?
We did have a just a bit of tequila.
Sure.
For the show, of course. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Mother, for your generosity. It was a fucking ball. I love Broadway Bears. I think Broadway Bears is like one of the most fun nights that happens in the Broadway community every year. I had done it the year prior too. And it's just like, one, the energy is insane. And especially because no one knew we were doing Buttons. Like, it was like a surprise performance kind of thing. So when we teched it that day in front of the people doing the show, everyone was like, they start hearing Buttons. Everyone's like, what's going on? Exactly, exactly. Oh. Everyone's like, and so then the audience didn't know it was coming either. And so it was just like, to like watch people in real time realize what was about to happen.
I mean, it was the talk of the town. Even the as the videos started coming out, it was like, can, because you know what, Nicole, it's such a, it's such an amazing part of her journey to like win a Tony for this role and then to give the girls what they want, which is, that's why, like, we're not going to get into the whole hat thing, but I just want to, like, I remember when I saw you backstage after the show and I was like, so, you know, how is it, like, how are you doing, how is it working with Nicole? And you said, obviously off mic, off record, you're like, she is incredible, she is mother, like, and I can just tell by the people who work with her, like, I had no issue supporting her in that race for the Tony, because it's for all the receipts that I've been given, she seems to be good girl, obviously legendary performer, and gives the girls what they want. So I'm like, she tens across the board. I think she deserves.
She is truly the hardest worker I've ever witnessed in my entire life. And like with the Bears thing, she decided we were doing that like on Wednesday before Bears.
When was the show?
Sunday.
Oh my God.
And so we like got into a studio and she like broke down the original choreography for us, which was so just like sickening. Like, when do you get to learn like iconic original choreography from the artist who you like now have like a lovely relationship with because you've worked with her for a year, and she just won the Tony. The show just won the Tony. Everyone was on such a high that it was like, this is just like the most exciting, beautiful celebration of.
Well, let's also talk about like a gay celebration too. Just completely. Like learning pop star choreo days after winning arguably the biggest award in theater, which is Best Leading Actress.
Exactly. Especially this year, baby.
Especially this year. I mean, you being a part of that Tony race just like must have been like being on steroids, because I've said this on the pod, it's the first year that I felt truly invested in the Tonys in many, many, many years. And being a part of it, I'm sure, was nutso. Because I'm a gay journalist, I interviewed Mikey Graceffa about Broadway Bears. And he says everybody's vibe backstage can be different. Some of the girls are just there to kiki. Some of them are horny. What was your vibe? Did you have any like slutty backstage moments? Were you just enjoying the chats? Or were you getting handsy?
This year was like, oh shit, do I know the choreography?
Oh, sure.
Down. This year was like, everyone backstage like, fuck, fuck. Also, it is the hottest room, temperature-wise, that has actually ever been created. And I don't know how it's legal, to be completely honest, but it is truly like something about, I don't know, what it's called, I think it's called the Hammerstein Ballroom, is the, and it was in the middle of a heat wave too. So everyone is like, it was sexy because like we were all dripping
naked.
Sweat, like dripping sweat and naked, and it was like we were like taking our shirts off because we were like
survival.
How else am I going to get through this?
Yeah.
So it wasn't super sexy this time around, but there have been moments.
Well, you were probably like, there is a fire code being broken, temperature alone, but at least we can picture past moments of you being slutty at Broadway Bears. I don't know. It's like, I feel like when we used to picture men at war, you picture the barracks and things that would go down, and we don't really have, I mean, we don't want to now glorify war. So now I just glorify the backstage at Broadway Bears, which in a way is its own battle.
It really truly is its own little war zone back there.
Yeah.
Last year when I did it, I was like completely naked by the end of my number. So, you know, that was its own little.
That's always what I'm curious about. Like when like they do like the final reveals or the final polls, and then you're like walking, covering your junk. Like, I don't know. I understand that like work is work and play is play. But in that world, it probably becomes a little more gray area if you're literally balls out.
Yeah, literally like with my, I was a co-lead last year with my friend Aiden. And it was like, we literally ended the number pressing our dicks together.
Oh.
Like naked, like ripping off the thing.
Sure.
Naked. Him like back to the audience, me front to the audience, just like pressing our dicks together so they wouldn't show. And they were basically like, you have to like press as hard against each other, or else if you don't, like
we will
people
see
are on the side, so then they can just see your dick. So you can decide, like, they can either see your dick, or you can like press your dick against Aiden, and me and Aiden are friends. So we were like, babe, dicks out.
Dick to dick, fraught on stage.
Exactly.
Well, that brings me to my question that I ask everybody on our bonus series, which is the question of, are you a slut? We use this word slut with a positive connotation. So you, G-Man, do you use the word slut to identify yourself?
You know, I don't tend to, actually. And not because I don't think I have slutty tendencies.
Sure.
But because I think maybe, like, I don't know if I've earned it.
Let's get into that. What do you mean by what does it mean when you have earned it, and is it something you want to earn?
Sure. I think, you know what, maybe I take that back a little bit. I think as I when I was younger, like as a teenager, the sex I was having was a lot. I was probably having, actually no, probably now in my life, similar amounts of sex. But it thinks I feel like maybe back then I was thinking of my sex as sluttier. You know what I mean? It was more random. It was more like I'm gonna engage in kinks and fantasies with people I don't really know. There's not really, it's about the sex. You know what I mean? Like I'm like,
right.
These interactions are based around the sex. And I feel right. like currently, at least right now, I think a lot more of the sex I'm having is with people that I know and love and trust, or even if I don't love them, but like people I know, people I'm like close with, friends.
You're know more what I mean? Intentional with your sort of physical intimacy with people now, and yeah. that feels I think that makes
and
sense.
And maybe if it's less intentional and more about like that's what I'm attracted to right now, is I'm attracted to like it's like I want to fuck people that in the middle of it we're going to stop and laugh and have a conversation about something
going on, and then
go right back to being like, oh right, now we're fucking.
Well, that brings up the question then, is that, you know, is that any less slutty, or is that just, I mean, actually, I don't know. Like, it's a really great question. Like, does that change the definition of if it's slutty or not, if it's with partners that you really know and you have this intimate connection? I kind of could argue that that could still be slutty, but at the end of the day, the question is all about, are you enjoying yourself physically? And it sounds like you are, in a way that's like so much more from a place from inside your body versus trying to like maybe check something off of a list or have sex simply because you think you should. Is what it sounds like.
Totally. And I think like growing up, I think I was using sex a lot more as a sense of validation and as a sense of like anxiety relief. Like I think sex had a lot more like external benefits to me.
Yeah.
Versus now I think sex, and I think probably the sex I'm having now maybe is more slutty. You know what I mean? Like I think maybe I'm doing things sexually that are wilder or different or more playful. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so I think sex now feels like it's more comes from a place of play rather than I'm like doing it because I'm like, oh, that sounds really fun and I want to try that. And I really like this person and they feel like we have great chemistry and like, it feels more, it's much more sensual, the sex.
Yeah, which is kind of the fun part about the older we get, the more that we can actually like plug into what feels good versus what we think we should be doing. Because I think that's the state that I'm currently in. In fact, when I first was engaging in my sluttiness in recent years, I definitely think at first I was trying to just like do it because it was available and I was either going to stress relief or get validation. For example, like when I first looked at Grindr and Scruff and all of that, it was while I was in this relationship. It was like we were allowing ourselves to be open in that way. And I hadn't really explored. And every time we would go to a new city, I couldn't help myself but open up the app and just like stare at it for a while. Cause I was just like, totally. So like, it was the dopamine.
It's like, what's going on?
Very. And it was like, I felt like I was playing a game. I felt like I was like, and now right now I'm in an era where like, it doesn't bring me joy to look at the apps. Right now is feeling like I'm trying to fill a void. So I'm actually staying off of it for like literally this week. It could change next week, but, what's your relationship to the apps right now? Are you someone that opens them at all, or are you staying off?
The apps were lovely in Spain.
Oh my God, I didn't even get into the Valencia at all. Tell me about, were you at all able to express yourself physically in España, which is one of my biggest dreams?
It was lovely. I had these two different interactions that were like, I was I was like, oh, this is wonderful. I was like listening to like, I just recently really got into the new Lorde album. And so I'm like walking back home, just like playing the album. I was like, oh, like I'm so like, life is so romantic. Like I just had such an incredible sexual experience. Like I'm so in my body. Like, you know, it was my first time in Spain. And like, I went with one of my best friends and we were both like, you know what? The point of this vacation is not to like see everything and do all the things. The point is to like relax, go to the beach, go shopping, eat some good food, like drink a ton, like just like enjoy being somewhere else.
What was the setting of, so you're listening to Lorde, you're like, God, that was so good. Was the hookup a one-on-one? Was it a beach cruise? Are you able to tell us what the setting was?
So exactly. So the first of the two that was like spectacular was this couple that I met on Grindr.
Uh-huh.
And I had a couple other hookups at this point with like Grindr people that I was like a little bit like, okay, like I did it and I like got like one of them. I was like, great. I like figured out what are the cool clubs to go to. Like, what are the good, like queer techno parties to go to while I'm here? Like it was an information gathering kind of thing. The second one, he kind of just like he was like in the process of trying to get his like Spanish citizenship or something. It was like talking through the whole process. I was like, wow, I just learned a lot. I don't know if I had the best time. And so then this one was like this couple, and I started talking to one of them on the apps, and he was so sexy and very like sweet and interesting. And he kept being like, he was like, I'm 38. Like, is that okay? And I was like, duh. Like, yes. I was like, not to objectify your age, but that's like,
that's great.
Honestly, that's very sexy to me.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 24.
Okay, so 24, and he's like, oh, so I'm 38. Are you in your cool? Because I'm such an old fucking hack.
Exactly.
38.
He was like,
and you're like,
so
no,
ancient.
No. Yeah, it's
I was,
okay.
I was like, one, 38 is not old. Especially 38 is not old for me and my history. Two, like, you're hot as fuck. I don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
As long as you're, you know, like, 22 and above. Yeah. But, like, you're hot as fuck. Like, down. So I went over to their apartment.
You just heard the first half of this chat with G-Man Moon. If you'd like to hear the rest of his horny stories, head to Substack. The link is in the description. It's substack.com/@Eric Wills. You can also see a lot more bonus episodes and full-length confession hole interviews, my Glory Hole talk show. Which, fun fact, this week's gay-ass podcast guest is Kyle Krieger, and his episode drops on Wednesday, but he also has a full-length confession hole interview where it's very horny over on that Substack as well. I love you so much. Stay gay, and I'll see you at Substack.
That's a gay-ass name for a gay-ass podcast.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.